problems. Stay where you are. More to do. We'll be joined by no less than Michael Schaus, Communications Director for the Nevada Policy Research Institute. That's all coming up on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
Almost here, and so is the Las Vegas heat. Are you ready for summer? Most importantly, is your air conditioner ready? Home Air Conditioning, locally owned and operated in the Las Vegas Valley, can save you money and keep you cool all summer. Schedule your $59 maintenance and safety inspection to keep your AC running all summer long. Call Danny at 702-878-8367 to schedule your appointment today. Turn to the experts at Home Air Conditioning, license number 51994.
Afraid that price for your new air conditioning unit was too high? Afraid that repair price on your AC unit was too much? Sticker shock.
Home Air Conditioning, your cure for sticker shock. Call Home Air Conditioning for free second pricing on your new air conditioning unit or AC repair. Home Air Conditioning voted the friendliest AC company in the valley. Call Danny for your free second pricing. 702-878-8367. Online at homeairlv.com. License number 51994.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Townhall.com, I'm Keith Peters. President Biden will unveil a series of executive actions aimed at addressing gun control on Thursday, delivering his first major action on gun control since taking office. Correspondent Bernie Bennett has more.
President Biden is expected to announce tighter regulations requiring buyers of so-called ghost guns to undergo background checks. The homemade firearms, often assembled from parts and milled with a metal cutting machine, often lack serial numbers used to trace them. It's legal to build a gun in a home or a workshop, and there is no federal requirement for a background check. Mr. Biden is also planning to name his nominee to head the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, a position that advocates say will be key to implementing the nation's gun laws and addressing gun violence. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
Correspondent Rita Foley reports on news about AstraZeneca's coronavirus vaccine.
The European Union's health authority says it has found a possible link between the AstraZeneca coronavirus vaccine and a rare clotting disorder. But it says the benefits of the shot still outweigh the risks, and it recommends that the vaccine continue to be given to adults. The European Medicines Agency describes the clots as very rare side effects. It says most of the cases reported have occurred in women under 60. The United Kingdom's drug regulator says the AstraZeneca vaccine has huge benefits, but people under 30 will be offered another product due to the rare blood clot risk. I'm Rita Foley.
President Biden is drawing a red line on his $2.3 trillion infrastructure plan. He says he's open to compromise on how to pay for the plan, but inaction is unacceptable. Republicans say the infrastructure plan is nothing more than a Trojan horse for left-wing policies and a nearly $2 trillion tax hike. On Wall Street, the Dow by 16 points, but the NASDAQ dropped 9. More on these stories at townhall.com.
A heart attack? He was 47. What about Janice and the kids? Do they have life insurance?
No.
Call SelectQuote now and get the insurance your family needs at a price you can afford.
In minutes, SelectQuote found John, 45, in excellent health, a $500,000 policy for only $29 a month. And his wife, Ann, 43, in excellent health, a $500,000 policy for only $21 a month.
At SelectQuote, we comparison shop some of the most trusted insurance companies in America to find you the best rate in minutes. And it's free.
For your free quote, call 1-800-644-1331. That's 1-800-644-1331. Or go to selectquote.com. That's 1-800-644-1331.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
New report says the coronavirus is...
Our country is in an upheaval that continues to fester. Elected officials from the lowest recesses of our local government to the highest office in the land have played a part in the divisiveness of today's America. And we, Americans, bear the risk. I'm Sam Peters, owner of Peters Family Insurance here in Las Vegas. Our government is opening our country's border. Shutdowns have destroyed businesses and jobs, and crime rates are on the rise. Are you prepared? Peters Family Insurance is a conservative, veteran-owned business with two locations in Las Vegas. If you've not taken a look at the risks you face every day, give us a call. Whether it's auto, home, business, or life insurance, we can help. We've been voted Best of Las Vegas for 2 years straight, and we live up to that award. Support local conservative small business owners before liberal elected officials put us all out of business. Call Peters Family Insurance today at 702-870-4000. Again, that's 702-870-4000.
It's 4:04. This is your KMZQ Newsflash. I'm Jim Dallas. Unhappy of what he calls the party's shift towards socialism, North Las Vegas Mayor John Lee says he's leaving the Democratic Party and becoming a Republican. Lee said being a pro-life, pro-gun Christian made it increasingly difficult to find a place in the party moving forward. Nevada State Democratic Party officials say Lee has been out of step with the party for some time. Lee has been mentioned as a possible gubernatorial candidate in next year's election. Well, March was another record month for Southern Nevada housing. The median sales price of previously owned single-family homes was $363,000 in March. That's up more than 2% from the all-time high set in February and nearly 14% better than the same time last year. House hunters bought more than 3,700 homes last month, 35% better than March of the previous year. 74% of the homes sold last month were on the market for 30 days or less. Senior centers have now reopened in Clark County, making the first local entity to bring back the facility since they were closed during the COVID-19 outbreak. Southern Nevada health officials report more than 75% of county residents 70 and older have already been vaccinated. The same holds true for those between 60 and 69 years of age.
KMZQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Right now, come in for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95.
We're getting some reduced speeds on the 15 right now, beginning around Tropicana on the north side, south 15 at Sahara, as you work your way through the corridor there. Moderate flows on the Beltway, 215 west at Gillespie, 215 northbound at Robbindale. And road work continues on Interstate 11 south at Wagon Wheel. The on and off ramps close at 8.
And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are... Well, let me go to the second thing. I've spoken enough of that.
And what makes his wild claims and hopes, he now hopes we don't notice what he said or won't remember. And when he does follow through or doesn't do, when follow through, the exact opposite. Check it out. COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. You think about it.
Don't call me stupid.
Oh, right. To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
And this special Nevada Policy Research Institute report is brought to you by our friends at Nevada Trucking Association, Paul Enos, and all the good people at the at Nevada Trucking. Joining us now, Michael Schaus, Communications Director for NPRI, and I always love having him on because he knows so much about so much. First of all, thanks for joining us. Did you hear about John Lee leaving the Democrat Party? He did it on Fox and Friends of all places, and all of a sudden now he is a Republican, not a Democrat. Are you surprised by that?
No, not really. I mean, you saw the Democrat response, of course, was, oh, he's been out of step with the party for quite some time. And all I can think to, you know, all I can think of is, well, yeah, that actually explains a lot of mainstream Democrats right now. So it's kind of interesting. You know, it was interesting to see unfold. I don't know how much of an impact it's going to have on anything, but no, it wasn't a huge surprise for me.
Can he be a part of the race against Steve Sisolak in 2022?
You know, I mean, he could. I think right now it's, you know, the GOP is kind of facing the same problem that they had in the presidential race prior to Donald Trump getting in 2016. And that's just, we've got so many people who could potentially be a contender that nobody's really kind of gathered around and say, hey, this is our guy so far.
Who are going to be some of the people that you're going to be watching for that?
You know, I'm still not sure. And, you know, for us, I mean, at NPRI, it's kind of, you know, we're so focused on the session right now, I haven't even really been able to pay attention to the inside baseball on all of it. But, you know, my guess would be as soon as the session is done, you're going to see it's starting to come into pretty clear focus who's actually got that ambition. As soon as the session's done, people are really going to be stepping up and saying, all right, I need to get noticed. I need people to know that I'm serious about this now. So it's probably going to come into more focus. Once we're kind of done with the day-to-day politics of this current session.
Now, I know that we are into week 10 of the 81st Nevada legislature, and I guess my question is, when are they going to start passing some bills? I mean, is that going to be coming, like, soon, or are we still looking to May before we do anything like that?
You know, we'll see. I mean, some things are going to have to start getting passed. You know, this Friday, for example, is a deadline, so most bills, unless they're exempt, but most bills will have to be heard in the committee and passed out of the committee in the House where they originated in order for them to continue forward. Anything else is just going to be dead. Now, you know, I say that like it's a hard and fast rule, but, you know, who knows how they can toy with the rules later on. But what that means is pretty soon, just because of the deadlines that are coming up, they're going to have to actually start doing things as opposed to just kind of this non-stop deliberation that you hear on just a handful of pet projects.
Schools are back. Everybody is back in brick and mortar schools. But there is still a question on how we fill the gaps created by, and I'm talking about the learning gaps for our kids, after dealing with the pandemic. Do you have any ideas on that as far as, you know, I've been asking everybody and their brother about the notion of, you know, mandatory summer school. Every kid in the district reports to school on June 1 or whatever it is and operates until August 1st.
Well, you know, some parents out there already have the answer, and that's, you know, these are the parents that you said everybody's back in school right now. That's not quite the case. There are a lot of parents who said, you know what, we're not going back to traditional public schools. This just, it wasn't really working that well before, and this last year has just solidified for us that, no, this is not the right choice. And that's really what it boils down to. You know, when it comes to mandatory summer school, the thing that I don't like about that is I don't think public schools do a good job in normal years. I don't really want them to then be in charge of doing even more damage to our kids over the summer. So I think there's going to be a bigger push, especially as the effects of the pandemic really demonstrate themselves in the educational arena. There's going to be a bigger push for increased school options because a lot of folks are going to say, you know what, I don't necessarily want to leave my public school, but I have to get my kids some help. How can I do that right now if I don't have the financial means? And things like ESAs, things like OP scholarships, things like normal private scholarships, those are all options that are going to be on the table for families, and they're going to be demanding more of them as the effects wear on from the last year of no school.
So if we don't do mandatory summer school, for instance, how do we fill that gap? I mean, we're going to be promoting kids that don't need to be promoted, that don't deserve to be promoted. Third graders that are reading at a first grader rate. Tell me how we fix that.
Well, here's the first part of the question is, you know, how do we fix that? And there's not a great clear answer in the current structure that we have for education. There's not. And the reason why is the reason why I'm not totally on board with mandatory summer school. And it's because if you think that CCSD will somehow overcome this last year by having kids in school in the summer, then you haven't really been paying attention to CCSD. That's not going to do it. That's not going to fix it. It's going to be a waste of pretty much everybody's time and resources. The real options out there are things that unfortunately are not being talked about right now. At least in Nevada. In other states, we've already seen in Arizona, for example, they have stepped up their educational options. So they're helping families get private tutoring in addition to whatever school they're currently going to. So that way they can try to overcome the school closures that they had earlier in the year.
And one of the things we were talking earlier today with Aaron Phillips, the co-founder of Power to Parent, and one of the things we talked about was they're going to have a rally tomorrow ahead of the Board of Trustee meetings. Nobody in the Clark County School District, I'm talking about the Board of Trustees, nobody seems willing to commit to any plan of attack beginning in August for our kids. Are they all going to be in brick-and-mortar schools? Will there be hybrid available? Will they even begin August 10th or 12th? Nobody seems to know, and the district and the Board of Trustees doesn't seem willing to make a commitment to it. Do you have any feel for why that would be? I mean, why are they holding back?
No, I mean, it's the same reason that they stayed shut down for so long, and it's really, you've got this huge politically powerful teachers union that for the last year has been holding this over everybody's head as political leverage. And that's what they're doing right now. If this was really based on science, if this was based on what was best for the kids, if this was based on getting kids back into some sort of academic routine, you're absolutely right. They would have a plan 6 months ago to get kids back in the next school year. Because they don't, that tells you that there's political shenanigans going on, and those shenanigans are happening from the teachers union, which has been the driving force to keep schools shut down and remote and everything else.
There is an amazing story out there. And again, joining us, Michael Shouse, Communications Director for Nevada Policy Research Institute. An amazing story. Battle-born patriots, they have been helping essentially counties that want to walk away from Governor Sisolak and mask mandates and things like that. And apparently they have added Nye County to their list of accomplishments, the eighth county to open up and essentially throw out the mask mandate. And they're doing that now in Nye County, that they're done. Are we going to see this? I mean, is this the way this thing's going to end? I know that May 1st, the governor has promised that he's going to kind of halfway walk away and give more responsibility to the county commissions and the city councils across the state. Is this the way it's going to end, though, that we're going to have 8, 10, 15 counties that just end up ignoring the governor?
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, it's already happening all over the country where you see this story playing out. And it's kind of, to me, there's kind of a sad narrative here that it took counties this long to figure out that this is the way that they should handle this. Governor Sisolak's constitutional authority does not extend to a year-long state of emergency where he just gets to make up laws and regulations. That's just not a constitutional authority of his. So counties should have been pushing back against that a long time ago. That being said, because they're doing it now, that's good, because ultimately this might be kind of the silver lining that we get from this overreach of the executive branch, is that a lot more people are going to start thinking about autonomy, whether that's individual autonomy or, in this case, counties and how autonomous they should be. Ultimately, that is what's going to, if not stop Governor Sisolak's current abuse of powers, it's going to be what tempers future abuses of power. And that's really important. The more that counties stand up and say, no, we're not taking this anymore, the less likely you are to see this same sort of egregious overreach in the future.
Again, Michael Shouse joining us. More with Michael Shouse. We'll talk about infrastructure, and we'll talk about what the Biden administration is doing along our southern border. All that and a whole lot more coming up as we continue. My name is Kevin Wall. Good to have you with us on AM 670 KMZQ.
Same great shows, new times. Wake up with Mike Gallagher weekday mornings from 6 to 9. Heidi Harris from 9 to noon. And Charlie Kirk from noon to 3. AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart. But our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
Layoffs, forced early retirement, more of a reality in 2020, and it's hitting close to home. It's time to take control and stay on your retirement trajectory. Shore up your strategies with a written retirement plan, a financial roadmap from Coach Pete and the team. This is a limited time offer for a no-cost, no-obligation consultation. Call 800-661-7383, 800-661-7383, or text COACH to 21000, COACH to 21000. The first 10 callers will receive a copy of Coach Pete's book, 7 Baby Steps to a Ridiculously Reliable Retirement Income.
Laborers Union Local 872 is committed to ensuring the safety and health of their workforce. Here are five recommendations to keep you and everyone safe on the job site. Perform a self-assessment before arriving on the job site. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Keep your distance. Adhering to the regulations and limit large group interactions. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
There's a reason approved certified pre-owned Jaguars enjoy such an outstanding reputation. They were once new Jaguars. Hi, this is Ray DiNardi. With the 100,000-mile approved certified warranty, pre-owned Jaguars still have plenty of life left in the tank. They're like new in every respect and waiting to take you on many more exhilarating drives. Come find yours today at Jaguar Land Rover Las Vegas, 6425 Roy Horn Way, or visit us online at jlrlv.com.
In 2020, Nevadans faced unprecedented government overreach and has had a devastating effect on our economy, on the livelihoods of countless Nevadans, and on our basic foundational freedoms. And now, of course, as lawmakers deal with the fiscal realities of shutting down an entire economy, they're getting ready to ask you, the very Nevadans who are suffering the most right now, to cough up even more of your hard-earned dollars to fix their mistakes. The Clark County Education Association wants to make Nevada's average sales tax the highest in the nation, and that's just the beginning. You can be sure government agencies, lobbyists, and unions will be out in force to make sure that their priorities are put ahead of yours. That's why Nevada Policy will be on the ground in Carson City this legislative session, making sure struggling Nevadans, not government insiders, are put first in the 2021 session. Partner with us today, and let's rebuild this great state. Visit NevadaPolicy.org today and join our effort. That's NevadaPolicy.org. This Nevada Policy update is supported by Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, Jim Marsh Kia, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt, and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figuerella, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
What happens in Las Vegas gets talked about on Live and Local with Kevin Wall. Weekday afternoons 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
The president had a photo op today. He's still trying to sell his infrastructure package. I don't know what will happen with it. Joining us, as he does from time to time, I'm always good to have him. Always good to have him on. Michael Schaus, the communications director for NPRI. Let me just ask you: the infrastructure package, $2.3 trillion. I mean, it's a lot of money, and less than 10% of it goes to infrastructure, roads, bridges, things like that. What do you see as the future for that bill?
You know, it's worrisome. I mean, normally I would say it's not going to go anywhere because one of the most contentious things, and there are, well, it's a number of contentious things, but it's all the handouts to organize labor, making it easier for them to actually organize, repealing right to work laws. I mean, some really serious stuff that traditionally would not get through the Senate and the House. That being said, we live in a strange time for politics, and I'm a little bit worried that some of the more centrist Democrats might go along with the more radical Democrats, and I'm also worried that, you know, they might try to use some weird reconciliation measure or something like that in order to just shove it through. So it is definitely something to worry about, but I will say you will most likely have a media pushback, and that might even mean lawsuits or what have you if it actually goes through, just because of some of the egregious stuff that is put in there.
Like what? Give me a like, for instance.
One of the biggest things, and you know, it's been talked about all over the place, but unfortunately only in smaller circles. Like, I mean, you know, Reason.com wrote about it, and you've got Free Beacon and what have you. But this, essentially, it repeals right to work for the 28 states that have right to work. It says that if you are in the private sector and you're working someplace that has a union, that union can force you to pay dues, even if you don't want to. And that is just a monumental change to American labor laws that would be pushed through in what he is describing as a so-called infrastructure bill. It's really quite amazing, some of the stuff that they've been trying to sneak in there, in addition to all the green energy giveaways and all the cronyism.
Well, you and I have talked about this before, this whole notion of how Democrats are tremendous at branding. They know how to brand. If gay marriage doesn't work, they go to marriage equality. Here they've gone from infrastructure, because less than 10% of the bill is infrastructure. Now they're calling it a jobs bill. Is it really a jobs bill?
No, it's only a jobs bill if you happen to be politically connected or work for somebody in a very politically connected industry. I mean, this is, and to be fair, I mean, all politicians do this to a certain extent. You know, they pass the Let's Make America Beautiful and Prosperous Act, and what it really does is something very different than making America beautiful and prosperous. And that's what we see here. Now, what's different about, you know, this time versus other times is you've got a media that is so complacent with the Joe Biden administration and just, I think, so ecstatic that his name is not Donald Trump, that very few people in the mainstream media are willing to actually dive in and say, what is this, and is this actually good, even for progressives? And that lack of scrutiny means that they've been able to stick a lot of things in there that normally they probably just wouldn't have the spine to stick in there. And so it's interesting to see how this has been played out.
It will be interesting to see. I'm curious, the reconciliation and all of that, the filibuster. Do you trust Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin to hold the line against the filibuster?
Yeah, Joe Manchin more than anybody else, but it still worries me, just because, again, we live in a very weird time of partisan politics. And you know, this is a road that we've been down for a very long time. I mean, you know, a couple decades we've been talking about things like the filibuster. And I think the thing that Democrats and progressives really need to stand back and think about is, do you want to give whatever power you're trying to accumulate for yourself, do you want to give that power to Republicans when they eventually win the Senate? Because that's what's going to happen. I mean, Harry Reid proved that with his maneuvers with the filibuster. You know, all of a sudden Democrats were screaming bloody murder as soon as Republicans were trying to do the same thing. So Democrats, for their own interest, ought to be really cautious about what they do in this particular circumstance.
There's been a firestorm in our nation's capital, people asking the question, where's Kamala Harris? And nobody seems to know. The one thing we do know is that she's nowhere near the southern border. And now you've got the Biden border crisis. It's become more a thing of, where's Kamala Harris? Why won't the person who is spearheading our effort on our southern border, even visiting the border, is she going to be there anytime soon?
No, probably not, because, again, you know, they don't really have to live by the same rules that everybody else would have to live by in the media. You know, if this was a Republican, for example, the media would be shouting at the top of their lungs, where are you? Why aren't you at the southern border? Because she's a Democrat, and because she's a Democrat in an administration that most of the media seems very happy about right now, she's not really going to get called out on it. And if she does, if mainstream publications do call her out on it, it's going to be forgotten within a week. And so there's not really a whole lot of political incentive for her to give anybody the possibility for a bad photo op if she doesn't have to.